Welcome to another episode of Academy Days. I'm your host and author, Judith. Find somewhere comfortable to listen to today's podcast. It got a little bit long. Thanks for listening. Academy Days, Episode 42, Who You Are. Lacey Winters slowly lowered her book and watched Aunt Nina shuffle across the kitchen to the refrigerator. Strings of hair dangled down her neck from a messy updo, and her gray hoodie hung limp, revealing the stretched-out neck of an orange t-shirt beneath. Shouldn't Aunt Nina have already left for her job at the 24-hour gas station? Didn't her shift start at 6 a.m. or something?
"Your cereal is getting soggy," Ira said, grabbing Lacey's toast off her plate on the way to joining Aunt Nina at the refrigerator.
"Anything good in there?"
He stopped next to Nina, and they both just stood there, staring into the lit interior of the refrigerator like a gourmet breakfast would appear any second. How could Ira do it? Treat Aunt Nina just like another sister? But she wasn't. She was a grown woman who should have showered and gone off to work 3 hours ago. Lacey sniffed. When she was 37 years old, she would not be standing around in her schlubby clothes at 9 o'clock in the morning.
"Lacey, don't get too engrossed in reading," Mom said, coming into the kitchen. "You need to get the dusting done before the ladies come over for Bible study. You were supposed to have done it yesterday, so that you could help me make appetizers today."
"She's been reading those books she found in the attic," Ira said, "nonstop."
"I'm glad you're enjoying the Peggy Raymond series, but they'll keep. They have since I packed that box 22 years ago, the summer I was getting ready to marry your father. Gammy plopped them into the midst of my stuff and told me they were part of my inheritance." She nudged between Ira and Nina and grabbed the eggs and milk jug. Like magnets, their bodies turned to follow Mom's trajectory as she headed for the stove.
"Yes," she said, "I will make you omelets."
Lacey sat up straight in her chair. Who was late for work? Who couldn't make their own breakfast? Not Lacey Winters. Who was improving her mind by reading vintage literature, but getting a cut down for not doing a 15-minute chore? Lacey Winters. Justice was an illusion, non-existent. Lacey gathered up book, bowl, and plate, and rose, back straight, just as an early 20th century New England girl would have done.
"Backache?" Ira asked.
"Neck, probably," Nina said, leaning an elbow on the table. "I get those if I use a hard pillow."
They both stared up at Lacey, waiting. "I was merely using good posture," Lacey said, and turned on her heel to dump her dishes into the sink.
"Merely?" Ira said.
"Like meerkats?" Nina asked.
Ira yawned. "I don't know. Probably."
"I shall go dust now, Mother, and then I will make a lovely lemon sponge for your afternoon tea," Lacey said, and marched out of the kitchen.
"Sponge? Afternoon tea?" Mom's voice drifted after her. Lacey whipped open the stair closet and grabbed a rag and dusting spray. The problem with modern times was that a 15-year-old girl was treated like a silly child, and a 37-year-old could sit around looking like a dust rag, and nobody seemed to mind a bit.
Lacey spritzed the dust cloth with lemon-scented cleaner and started around the circumference of the living room, shining away 2 or 3 weeks' worth of film on the surfaces of tables and window sills. She lifted a stack of random mail out of the way, and a page with ECA's letterhead slid to the floor.
Oh, a reminder about class registration. In less than a month, she would be a sophomore in high school. Lacey shivered. Algebra 2 awaited her, and biology. Equations and dissection labs. Solving for X, not to mention Y and Z. And looking for livers and kidneys and hairless cats and fetal pigs.
What was the use of growing up when people neither acknowledged your maturity nor respected your desire for a peaceful existence? Lacey ran her dust cloth down the keys of the piano and then sat down to pound out a chorus of "You're a Grand Old Flag" from the music that still rested on the rack from a July the 4th frenzy to play patriotic songs. Maybe, if she got a job like Nora, everybody, Mom and Dad, Ira, Flora, Nina, everybody would recognize her as a soon-to-be adult. People would finally begin to understand who Lacey Winters really was. Who you are? London's hesitant question from a few weeks ago floated through Lacey's mind. Lace, we're created by God. I think we're supposed to let Him tell us who we are. Lacey's face felt all warm at the remembrance of that conversation. She'd been barely holding back a waterfall of tears that day, emotions running wild, probably for multiple reasons, and London had looked at her with a sort of perplexed expression and said those words before their conversation had been interrupted. Then they'd overheard the senator and his son's exchange as they left the house, and somehow the oddness of the situation had pushed Lacey's identity crisis out of her mind for a day or so. Lacey closed the songbook and shoved it into the compartment of the piano bench. Whatever London had meant that day was about as mysterious as the senator's argument with his son, or whatever Mrs. Pella had been doing with the air vent in the stable apartment. The trip to the senator's horse farm had been fun, but somehow there'd been something strange about it, too. "Lacey, are you about finished?" Mom called from the kitchen. Lacey spun off the piano bench and ran the dust cloth over the coffee table. "Almost!" Had she imagined the tension rippling through the air at the horse farm? Sometimes, well, she caught herself mentally creating things that weren't there, scary things or interesting things. Someone rang the doorbell. "Got it," Ira yelled, and jogged past the living room to the front door. "Hey, man," he said. Lacey peered into the hallway. Xavier Argene stood on the front porch, his solid frame only slightly taller than Ira's. Now, there was another mystery. The guy had disappeared from school last year after that odd weekend when Nora had shown up at the Winters' house saying he'd run off. Lacey pulled back out of sight. Ira wasn't friends with Xavier, was he? Not even London hung out with that group anymore. Xavier, Chandler, and Zoe? Sounds of movement came from the hallway as Ira and Xavier stepped deeper into the house and the front door closed. Lacey wrapped her hands in the dust cloth and waited. If they came into the living room, she'd slip out and upstairs. No way could she dust this room with Xavier slouching in one of those chairs. The echoes of that day in the lunchroom filled her mind. They'd mocked her to her face, said things that sounded like one thing, but she was pretty sure had meant something else. A guttural sound had been in their laughter. Lacey backed up against the wall, the faint sound of Ira and Xavier going upstairs barely making it past a fog of memory. The fog brought a vague sense with it. She was like Lewis in The Trumpet of the Swan, just not quite normal. Or maybe like Mary Bennet in Pride and Prejudice, the girl nobody could relate to. "Lacey, done? Come make the cracker spread, please." One hand on the chair rail, the dust rag dangling from the other, Lacey swallowed and shook the memory of that cafeteria scene out of her mind. But the feelings didn't leave. The shadowy projection of who they thought she was floated before her, followed her, as she swiped the last surface clean and put away her supplies. "Why is Ira hanging out with that guy?" she said a few minutes later, dropping an 8-ounce block of cream cheese and a 2-cup bag of sharp cheddar onto the kitchen counter. "What guy? Xavier Argene? Oh, well, Mom glanced towards the ceiling. I suppose it's no secret. He didn't finish his senior year. Ira's helping him study for his summer school final exams.
Oh.
Lacey pulled 3 long green onions out of a rubber-banded bunch and rinsed them under the faucet.
So, he wouldn't be gracing the hallways of ECA come fall. Good.
Aunt Nina emerged from the basement apartment again, looking more presentable than she had earlier that morning. She halted next to Lacey.
You look down in the dumps. What's wrong?
Lacey bent her head and concentrated on slicing off the ends of the green onions. She scooped the discarded pieces into a trash bag.
Dreading the start of school, she said.
Cynthia, why are you making this child cut onions when she should be out enjoying the last days of summer freedom? Nina said.
Mom looked up from pressing buttered and sugared crushed pretzels into the bottom of a glass dish.
She's hardly deprived, Nina. She spent almost an entire week at an equestrian estate this summer.
She put the pretzels into the oven and commenced slicing strawberries.
Could you check those potatoes? She nodded towards a steaming pot on the stove.
Nina forked a potato cube up from the water and blew on it before popping it into her mouth.
Done, she said. I have an idea.
She drained boiling water into the sink and dumped the potatoes into a bowl.
Lacey should come be my assistant for a few weeks and make some money. Money goes a long way to raising the spirits of a teenager.
Lacey grimaced. At the gas station?
She'd come home smelling like corn dogs and diesel fuel. Ew.
Nina fingered through the recipe cards Mom had stacked on the counter.
Where have you been, Lace? I thought I told everyone. I finished those online photography courses. I got a job with a studio and quit the gas station. I start next week. You can come with me to my shoots, carry equipment, adjust lights or backgrounds for me, make babies smile. I'll pay you out of my salary and teach you the trade.
Oh, so that's why Nina had hung around this morning. She wasn't being a slob after all.
Nina, are you sure? You're just beginning yourself, Mom said.
Studying a recipe card, Nina opened the refrigerator door.
I think Lacey would make a good assistant. She's teachable, not presumptuous. When she decides to do something, she does it well. She just needs a little push to get past fear, to reach confidence. Lacey needs a boost of confidence.
I'm right here, Aunt Nina.
I know that. Nina plunked a jar of mayonnaise and a bottle of mustard down next to the potatoes. Why whisper about you when I can say it to your face?
Would you like to try it, Lacey? Mom asked.
Lacey scraped finely chopped onion into a bowl on top of the cheeses.
Would she enjoy working with Aunt Nina? They weren't close. Aunt Nina was sort of seasoned. And abrupt sometimes, intimidating, but hadn't Lacey just thought about getting a job not 30 minutes ago? And maybe this was part of what London had meant about letting God show her who she was?
Yeah, I think I would, Lacey said.
Perfect. We'll start Monday. Triplet toddlers 2-year picks.
A large glob of sour cream dropped off Lacey's spoon onto the floor.
Well, what had she just gotten herself into?
Monday afternoon, Lacey found herself jumping up and down, whirling in circles, and making gobbling noises, all in an effort to make 3 little girls laugh. They laughed.
Lacey collapsed to the ground.
Again, keep it up, Nina said.
Lacey moaned.
Actually, here.
Nina rummaged in a bag and shoved a handful of lollipops at her.
Go over there. I want to make a picture of the girls running.
Lacey jogged towards a tree at the end of the park pathway. Nina came halfway down the path with her camera.
Now, Lace.
Lacey held up the candy. Anybody want a lollipop? She called.
3 curly heads turned from an inspection of a smushed spider. eyes brightened. Three little girls tumbled off the park bench and scampered towards Lacey. It was cute. The sun making their hair look all glossy glow, their little personalities showing in a grin or in a determined concentration. Then they were scrabbling around her legs, their little feet making smudgy imprints on her turquoise canvas shoes.
Oh, not too many, just one each, the mom called and hurried forward. Are they naturally flavored?
One more by the playground, Nina said, and bustled off in the direction of a tiered structure of slides, ladders, and bridges.
The kids skipped after her.
Don't run, the mom gasped. Not with candy.
She jogged after them, her enormous backpack half unzipped. A pack of wet wipes and a sippy cup tumbled to the ground. Lacey picked them up and followed, shoving the leftover lollipops into her pocket. Smudged shoes aside, this wasn't a terrible way to make some money. Wasn't a terrible first job.
Monday afternoon, Lacey stared out her tower window towards the cornfields. The day had been fun. Sort of. Nina had handed her $25. She could buy a new pair of shoes. Then again, she'd had a perfectly unsmudged pair just that morning.
Okay, so is there anything about being at Nina's photography assistant that should tell me who I am? Should refute all that gunk that's been swirling around in my brain ever since that day in the cafeteria? 'Cause mostly I just feel tired.
She grabbed her journal off the floor and opened to a fresh page and wrote the date.
God, I'm waiting. No, I'm asking. Who am I? 'Cause most of the time I just feel lonely, and because I'm lonely, I must be strange. 'Cause if people didn't think I was strange, I'd have more stuff in my life, right? More excitement, more...
Lacey shoved the book and pen away. This was dumb.
Lacey, supper?
Eppy heaved a muffled breath and trotted down the steps. Lacey followed, each foot landing like a splat of summer rain. She came to a halt in the kitchen doorway. Six people sat at the kitchen table.
Six people? But wasn't she the sixth person?
Who was that guy? With the dark curly hair.
Oh, him again? For dinner?
Lacey edged around the table and took a seat between Aunt Nina and Mom. She stared at her plate. Right across from him, she had to sit right across from him.
Let's pray, Dad said.
Help me not to throw up.
Lacey raised her head, keeping her eyes on the center of the table where the serving dishes were, where only the hands across the table were in her line of vision.
Lace, you look tired, Dad said. Nina work you that hard?
Lacey shrugged.
It wasn't too bad of a shoot, considering we were working with triplet toddlers, Nina said. She did great.
You're working a summer job, too?
Xavier's voice came, nonchalant, conversational.
Lacey shrugged.
Like I said, she's good at following instructions and she doesn't have a presumptuous attitude.
Lacey glanced at her aunt out of the corner of her eye. Well, there was an endorsement. Whatever presumptuous meant.
Mom took a sip of water. Lacey is a sweetheart, that's for sure.
Lacey squinted at her mother. Sweetheart? Since when? In between not dusting or forgetting to empty the dishwasher?
She just needs a push every now and then, Mom added.
Lacey took a bite of curry. It filled her mouth with spice and heat. She raised her eyes just enough to catch a glimpse of Xavier across the table. He probably thought those attributes were lame, tame, typical of a naive girl like Lacey.
Xavier glanced up in time to meet Lacey's eyes. He blinked, then looked away before concentrating on his food again.
Did he remember? Did he remember the last time he'd sat at a table with her? A sick feeling settled in Lacey's stomach, her left hand clenched and unclenched in her lap. A wave of heat prickled up the back of her neck, and it had nothing to do with the spicy curry. Curry didn't make her heart beat fast. No, she was angry. Angry at Xavier Argene, and she kind of wanted him to know it. Sudden tears pressed against her eyes. She sniffed, but so did Nina and then Dad.
Phew.
Dad leaned back, wiping his nose with a napkin.
Cynthia, this is unbelievably good, but I need some yogurt or something.
Lacey, can you get the Greek yogurt off the door? The plain, not the strawberry. Lacey went to the fridge, opened it, and leaned her face into the cool draft.
It's not too spicy, Ira said. Lacey, grab the red pepper flakes while you're up.
Lacey turned to the pantry cupboard and grabbed the spice before returning to the table. Everybody else had seconds. Lacey washed half her first portion down the garbage disposal. She headed into the hallway. Her tower. She needed her tower. She needed something to write in her journal or to read a book and drown out her thoughts by escaping into a different world.
It's spicy.
She whirled. Xavier stood in the kitchen doorway, wiping his sleeve across his forehead. Lacey opened her mouth. Something awful, something condemning coming to her lips. Xavier looked up, caught her gaze. His eyes widened.
Ready to go?
Ira said, edging past Xavier into the hallway.
Sure.
Xavier did another double take in Lacey's direction, then followed Ira out the front door. Lacey covered her mouth with her hand. What had she almost just said? What had been written all over her face? Oh. She turned and ran up the stairs to the landing and scrambled up the tower steps. She stopped in the middle of the tiny room, both hands clenched against her lips. I'm so angry, she whispered. And with the words, hot tears flowed down her cheeks. Oh, forgive me, Jesus, she whispered. I'm so angry, but I'm really, really hurt. For the first time, Lacey told someone what had been said at that cafeteria that day last spring. She held out her hands and she told someone all about the anger she'd been clutching to her heart. And she told him all the false words she'd been believing. Xavier, Chandler, Zoe, even Mom and Aunt Nina could say all kinds of things about her, to her, but only God could tell her who she was. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for believing lies, she whispered. Somehow, she was on the floor, her head pillowed on those dreadfully thin cushions. I forgive them, but I need you to tell me who I am. She pressed her aching forehead against the pink gingham pattern. Who am I?
I have called you by name. You are mine. I knew you when you weren't even formed. I've forgiven you. You are mine.
The words echoed in Lacey's head.
You are mine. You are mine. You are mine.
Where had she heard them before? Read them? Seen them? But they were words from the Bible, weren't they? She pulled herself up onto the window seat. Her Bible lay on the wide sill. She flipped to the back and stared at the words in the index. Nope, this was definitely the time to do an internet search. She opened a browser on her tablet. Yes, they were words from the Bible. Had they been a theme at youth camp or something? Wherever she had heard the words, they were so affirming. Lacey closed her eyes. Who am I? I am yours.
You are mine.
The phrase sang back to her, "Wow." So, what Xavier, Chandler, and Zoe had said last spring, their words were false? As much as they'd hurt, as much as they would still hurt, were they repeated, they would always be false.
"You are mine. I have redeemed you."
Lacey drew her knees up to her chest and leaned her head back against the wall. "Thank you," she whispered. "Thank you."
Thank you for listening to another episode of Academy Days. Thank you so much to the listener, Headphones and Podcasts, for leaving such a kind review. I hope you continue to enjoy. Goodbye.